Parshas Vayera begins, Hashem spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Hashem. I appeared to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov as Kel Shakai, but with the name Hashem I did not make myself known to him. Now, obviously this is a lot of Torah, we'll touch on Emir Hashem today, the difference between Kel Shakai, the name of Hashem, why is it significant that the name of Hashem was not known to them, but rather will be known to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Klal Yisrael as they leave Egypt. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu goes and says, I have heard the cries of Klal Yisrael. And we now have at the beginning of Parshas Va'era what we refer to as the Arba Lashonos HaGeula, the four languages of redemption. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem, I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt, Vatzeiti. I shall rescue you from their service, the Yitzalti. I shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment, Vega'alti. And, next pasuk, I shall take you to me for a people, v'lakachti, and I shall be a God to you, and you shall know that I am Hashem, your God, who takes you out from under the burdens of Egypt. Now, what's fascinating is, and this is question number one, and Avodah Avodah, source number three, L'chora tzarich b'yurbazet, da'lo v'lakachti etchem li la'ame, no lashon shel geula. If we talk about the four languages of redemption, right, and then the fifth is ve'eveitik, which is the fifth cup of wine on Kel Sheliyahu. When we talk about the four languages of redemption, we really are speaking about three languages of redemption. Ve'otzeiti, v'tzalti, v'ga'alti. Hashem took us out. Hashem will take us out. He'll save us and He'll redeem us. That's part of the Egyptian experience. However, v'lakachti etchem li la'am, and I will take you as a nation. That's at Har Sinai. That has nothing to do with Mamad Har. That has nothing to do with Yetziat Mitzrayim. So why do we link them together as four languages of redemption when the fourth language of redemption really happened many months later, right? And therefore, it's really not part of the entire experiences. Why is this referred to as one of the four languages of redemption? That's our overall question for today. The second question is, when we take a look at the psukim, we notice something very fascinating. By the first language of redemption, of the Hotzeiti, it says, I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And once again, in our pasuk, of the Lakachti, who takes you out from under the burdens of Egypt. So it's exactly a repetition. Why is it necessary to repeat, I will take you out from under the burdens of Egypt, with the fourth language of redemption, when it was already included in the first language of redemption? And further, as the Yesh Tamid, and further, if you take a look at Pasuk Zion, the seventh verse, I shall take you out to make for me a people, I shall be with you, a God to you, and you shall know that I am Hashem, your God. Only a Mamad Har Sinai, only receiving the Torah, they knew Hashem was their God. They didn't know with all the different makos in Egypt. Didn't they know clearly when Hashem is doing all of these miraculous things that Hashem was God? What does it mean? And only a Mamad Har Sinai, and only now they will know that I am God. What was it that happened in the fourth language of Geula that didn't happen previously that it was so clear that I am Hashem, your God? And finally, and this is Rav Mook in Source 4, where he brings down the Zohar HaKadosh, that the moment of redemption, why we begin with Vehotzeiti and the bracket, nothing mattered more to Israel than the freedom from bondage. Then, because they might be concerned that the Egyptian armies would rescue them and restore their servitude, I shall rescue them from their service. And then, after all, liberation and independence not guarantee real freedom, since Israel might come under domination of another power. So Hashem mentions, I will save you with a outstretched arm. The fourth stage of the redemption describes the universal importance of the Messianic era. I shall take to you for me as a people. And here, we know, and we'll touch on this as well, that these four languages of redemption parallel the four Golios, the four exiles that Klal Yisrael go through. And the fourth exile that we're in now parallels V'lakachti etchem li la'am. And we have to find what is the connection between this fourth redemption and this fourth period of time that we're in, the ultimate redemption, and V'lakachtam li la'am. And then we'll touch on Mirtz Hashem at the end. That's our last idea, very, very briefly at the end of Mirtz Hashem, is the idea that these four languages of redemption parallel the four cups of wine that we have on Pesach, and we need to figure out the correlation between the two as well. So, on a simple level, and then we could end the shiur right here and now, notes the Ben Melech, Rav Mintzberg's exile, source number 6, that really these four languages of redemption happen on the 15th of Nisan, on the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim. V'lakachti etchem li la'am, we're assuming, and I'll take you as a nation, is Har Sinai. But could we not say, he argues, that we already got a taste of Torah, so to speak, when we had the first mitzvah of doing Korban Pesach? So when was the moment, really, that we began to become v'lakachti li la'am, that Hashem took us as the people? It was on the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim, on that night when we gave those sacrifices, when we brought in Surah 7, that Kravas Korban Pesach, we brought the Paschal Lamb, Shazaya Ola Kabbalat Ola Avdut Aleihem. That was a sign that we're ready to take the yoke of God's kingship on us. We're ready to do whatever He commands us. And indeed, that was the language of the Lakachti happened the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Hence, notes the Ben Melech, why we don't have the fifth cup of wine. We only have it at the table of the cup of Eliyahu, but we don't drink it. It's Ve'eveti, because Ve'eveti didn't happen right then and there. So, Taka, those four languages of redemption happened all the night of Pesach. That to some extent, we became God's nation as soon as we took upon ourselves the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, putting the blood on the doorposts, etc. We took upon us for Smila, the yoke of God's kingship on us. And the fifth language of Ve'eveti, which didn't happen right then and there, that's why that fifth cup of wine we don't drink. That's a simple explanation. And then we would end the shiur, and then we would all go home. However, since we have the hour to spend together, so let's try to fill it with a little bit of a different and deeper Torah as well, and see, again, the practical ramifications for our lives, because that's really our focus. I'd like to take a look at why is the Lakachti part of the four languages of redemption, assuming that it is Mamad Har Sinai, as most of the Mefarshim do assume. And I'd like to look at it on two levels, and on each level to be able to see it from a bit of deeper and different perspective. We'll begin with Rav Duner Zatzal, Mikdash Shalevi, source number 8. Ki omnam anu notim l'fereshe mashmur ha-gula ki yitziyam ha-avdus. We normally understand that what does it mean, redemption and freedom? It means that we're no longer slaves. But move on in a physical way. But really, truth be told, this is a big mistake. Don't get us wrong. To be freed from physical slavery is amazing. This is not the complete redemption. Had Klal Yisrael just gone out from being slaves and not had a geula ruchanit, a spiritual redemption, which entailed that they would no longer be under the influences of the nations around them, it would not have been sufficient. That is why, when Hashem took us, kasher kosh baruch hu lakach otam la'am, v'natam lam et torato toras emet, only when Hashem gave us the Torah of truth, then hushlama l'masa geula, that is when the redemption really came to its climax and to its conclusion. So, why do we have the four cups of wine? Why do we have, what is it, the four languages of redemption? Only, did not only three aspects of redemption happen? And the answer is that the fourth aspect of redemption, albeit took place a drop later, but is part and parcel of the three languages of redemption, because just to be redeemed physically and not to be redeemed spiritually is missing the boat, and it's not redemption. It's very fascinating. On the reflections of the Rav in source number 9, he speaks about that the whole idea of the exodus of Egypt is Ve'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, that Hashem took us out. And that although we are no longer slaves to Paro, we are now slaves to Hashem. So he says, you may ask yourself, well, what have we gained? If we were slaves to Paro and now we're slaves to Hashem, we're still slaves. To which he responds the following, right? How can you say, give up your freedom to me and only then you'll be free? Are we not also losing our freedom? So he explains the following. This may seem paradoxical. Source number 9 in the asterisk. How can man be free if he surrenders his freedom? Analysis of man's existential condition will be helpful. Is man ever truly free? Is it not a prisoner of natural law subject to the caprices of a state of health, the intrusion of accidents, and the ever-hovering specter of possible death? These are psychological constraints. Man is also subject to social pressures, the mores of his society, the biases of his family, and the prejudice of his class. In reality, supposedly free man is buffeted, pressured, coerced, and restricted in his options, even if no human taskmaster hovers over him. These forces warp his initiatives and deprive him of real freedom. In surrendering to Hashem, man truly achieves freedom. He is no longer tormented by psychologically depressing anxieties about his health or the specter of death. The world is under the rulership of a beneficent God, and we achieve an identification with him by following his teaching. Man is thereby equipped to cope with all the hostile and threatening forces. He is bolstered by his faith and the transcendental orderliness of things and in Hashem's ultimate compassion. So we need to understand that we're always slaves. What we gained by being the slaves of Hashem is now we know that things aren't random, things aren't haphazard, and now we know that we have a direction and directive in our lives. And that's the goal of leaving Egypt. The goal of leaving Egypt was to become Avdei Hashem, was to be able to give over our entire self to the knowledge that Hashem is taking care of us. He is holding us, He is directing us, He is guiding our lives. And indeed, as the Rav Friedlander notes in Siftei Chaim in 10 through 12, that the hard work in Egypt was to get us ready to do the hard work of Avot Zavot, to be able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to know what it means, Avodas Evet, to know what it means to be completely subservient to God. And lest we think that we're losing our freedom, no, we are gaining far more when we know we're able to relax with the knowledge that Hashem is carrying us and He is in control of our lives. By giving up, we are gaining so much more. And this is really the whole point of what the Gula was about. The Gula is about, in 12 and the squiggly, Achelik Hashanibo Mechayevet Otanu, Hayitziah L'Chirut, He Kabbalat Ol Avdos. The reason why Hashem took us out was in order to be able to have the yoke of heaven on us. Shenamar, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, Shosetzicha, Meretz Yitzrayim Beit Avadim. Why did Hashem take us out? Avadayim Asher Otzeitiyotah Meretz Yitzrayim. In order to become the servants of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore we see that when we're talking about that Hashem physically took us out, you may say, well, is that not enough? No. Because if that is all that happened, we would still be slaves. We would be slaves to ourselves. We would be slaves to the world around us. So Hashem did us the greatest favor. And He made us slaves to Himself, to Him. He made us slaves to the highest being. So that we would understand that life is not pointless, that life is not random, that there's direction in life, and everything that happens has meaning and has purpose, and Hashem is leading the way at every step of the way. As my daughter, who's Mirza Hashem getting married very soon, said, if I didn't believe in Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not sure I could prepare for this marriage. Because you wonder, well, how's this going to fall into place, and how's that going to fall into place, and then you say, well, this fell into place, and that fell into place in a way I never even imagined. You have to believe that all those pieces of the puzzle, that you say, my gosh, if I had to hold all these pieces, I would collapse. But I know that I'm not holding it alone. I know that Ribbono Shel Olam is sending people to help and to buffer and to hold. And that this is the understanding that we give it up in order to be able to get so much more. And this, my friends, is the whole idea of what Yitziat Mitzrayim is about. The Arba Lashono Shel Gula, source number 4, Rav writes in Meros Shirim. He quotes here the Ramban. The Ramban and the arrow, V'olseiti etchem mechamat psavlus Mitzrayim. Hashem promises us that it'll take us out, that they're not going to have that burden of being slaves. V'itzalti etchem avaratam, shaloyim shalubahem klal, that they're not going to rule us over us at all. Liyot lahem b'mkomam l'masoveit, even to pay taxes. V'ga'alti etchem. And Hashem's going to do this with great and miraculous signs. And v'lakachti etchem li la'am, b'vo'achem al har Sinai v'tekablu ha'Torah, ki sham ne'mar v'item l'skula. It's only going to be at the receiving of the Torah that we will become Hashem's precious nation, and that is part of the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has envisioned from the start of creation. With this we can appreciate, my friends, a beautiful insight of the Shem Shmuel, and others bring it as well. That we know, and this is the bracket of 15, that when we're talking about the Arba Kosos, the 4 cups of wine, so the halacha goes through whether you're allowed to drink between the different cups, right? Without getting to the halachic ramifications, It is clear, though, that milvad ben hakos hashlishit l'revi'it shebeinayim ein lafsik b'shtiyah kolshi. So let's say the second cup of wine is at the meal. So if you'd like to drink a cup of wine during the meal, you can. Isn't it between the second cup and the third cup, which is benching? There's no problem. You can have a few cups of wine. I don't know why anyone would want a cup of wine. Maybe you'd be whining at that point, like the Seder is so long, but be that as it may, you can have another cup of wine. But between the third cup, which is the benching, and the fourth cup of wine, which is the Halah HaGadol, you're not allowed to have any cups. Why? Romezet b'tzura shkufa, sheyef sharalar shod hesach hadat kolshi, double underlined squiggly, ben ha'yitziyem imitzrayim, lebem ha'mad har Sinai. The third cup of wine, which represents the Ga'alti, that Hashem is going to redeem us. The fourth cup of wine, which represents the Lakachti, Hashem will take us as a nation. There can't be a break between those two cups because they are interconnected together, because the redeeming from Egypt has to be connected without any break with the receiving of the Torah. Because it's not just, well, Hashem took us out of Egypt. Well, that's nice, and that's, you know, part A. And then, you know, down the road we'll find part B. No. Part A and part B are intrinsically linked together. You can't have a redemption without having Torah. You can't have a physical redemption without the spiritual redemption going hand in hand. And likewise, he says, you also see this in Surah 16 in the Rambam. Where the Rambam writes, you have to begin with a negative and you end with a positive. And we end the Torah that Hashem brought us close to Him. And that the point of the Seder is about that we have to declare that we are now Hashem's people. So you ask yourself, hold on, we're dealing with Hilchos Pesach here, not Hilchos Shavuos. Why are we bringing here the fact that Hashem brought us close to Him? And the answer is, that's the whole point. V'chashuv laskir b'laylo zeh tovda shemakom kirvanu lovdato. Because Maman Har Sinai mehaveh chelek yisodi mitalicha gula. The Maman Har Sinai is an intrinsic part of the redemption process. Husiya piskata, it's the height, it's the climax. And if not, we wouldn't have been able, there would have been no point to redeem us. My friend, if we understand this, which is a very simple, basic level, that we need the Lakachti, because that is part and parcel of Voltzeiti Vitalti and Vigalti, we can now come to appreciate the idea of why Sivlos Mitzrayim repeated twice, both by the first one, Voltzeiti, as well as the Lakachti, to give us a little bit more of a depth of what's going on here. So the Be'er Yosef, Rav Yosef Salant Zatzal, source number 18, notes that the first time it writes the word Sivlot, it's chaser vav, missing a vav. And the second time it brings the word Sivlot in the Pasuk V'lakachti, it's mole with a vav. And he says we could explain that there were really two types of burdens under which we suffered. Sevel is a burden. Hei mitzarat haguf, in the bracket in 18, it could be the physical suffering. Mashashibdu al tama mitzvim refarach, hard, back-breaking labor, the chomer v'levinim v'chol avodah basadah, that embittered our lives. Aval mivad shibud v'inui haguf, aside from the physical, there was also shibud v'inui hanefesh. There was some aspect of the emotional as well. Ki mitzad koshi shibud sheichbidu aleihem avodah kasha v'shvela, hishpilu bazeh tchunat nafshama yikara. What was happened in Egypt is not just the physical back-breaking work, but there was something far more disastrous. And that is they worked on their spiritual aspect to the point where they made them feel so low that they didn't even feel that spiritual nature and character in them. They lost that feeling of skulan nafsham hadina. They lost that feeling of being the special nation. They lost that achinik shamu bechomer. Gas shalor gisha batzvam came zera kodesh anche malo midos tovos. They lost that sense of being the special chosen nation who have special midos, who are pristine, who are pure. And that was another type of inui. And what was so sad is, they didn't even realize they lost it. That's why at the end, Vayeda Elohim Hashem Sua, the Hainu Shu Yadat Saratama Dola Shem Batsman Lo Yadu Misa. Hashem saw what they didn't even see, what they didn't even recognize. Kehemi Tel Shifluka Lutam Vinu Yeim Yadu Rak Mitzarat Gufam Velo Mitzarat Nafsham. They only recognized that they're physically in pain. They didn't even feel or sense the spiritual turmoil that they were under. And therefore, my friends, that is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ra'iti, I saw the pain and the affliction, it's two aspects. The Inui HaGuf, the physical, the Inui HaNefesh, the spiritual. And that is why when Hashem took us out, it says that when Veltzeti, it's written Chaser, because they only felt one. They only felt that they're going to be saved physically. But now, when he's taking them out as a nation, now they'll know. Now, at Mamad Har Sinai, now when they get back that injection of they're the Avskula, they're the special nation, that they're the holy nation, now they suddenly are going to awaken within them that feeling that they had lost earlier. And therefore, only now at Mamad Har Sinai, which was our second question, why only now do they realize that Hashem is there? Now they realize the relationship with Hashem, the sivlos mole, the two sevels, the two types of affliction. Only now are they cognizant of the fact that they had been struggling and suffering all along. They hadn't even seen, that they weren't even attuned to and aware of. Now that they got to Mamad Har Sinai and were built up and they felt, wow, we're the Amskula, we're the special nation, we're the chosen nation, then they're able to look in retrospect and say, whoa, this was missing from us. We weren't even aware of it. And now that we're redeemed, and now that we've gotten this level of Lakafi, Etchem Li La'am, that Hashem has chosen us as a nation, we're now able to see the real affliction that we went through, and now we're able to appreciate all that Hashem has done for us to restore to us who we really are, who our natural and national character inherently is. Natural segments of events, obviously, redemption without spiritual redemption is limited. We'll be slaves to ourselves, to the pressures of society. Granted, idea number two is to recognize that we didn't even feel this spiritual lack when we were in Egypt, and Hashem had to take us out in order for us to realize what we were missing, to realize that we're missing that link of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabosa, I'd like to do something which is probably maybe a little bit dangerous, but I'd like to take this idea of not even realizing what we were missing and look at it from a bit of a Kabbalistic, deeper perspective, just for a few minutes. Work with me here. I find it very fascinating. I find it very illuminating, and the pun will be intended. And I'd just like to share with you a little bit of a deeper idea. It's good just to have perspective in learning. And then we'll get back to Mirtz Hashem, the second level, and see how it's very much related to our lives in Mirtz Hashem. Let's take a little journey. Let's go up north to Canada, to Tush, the Rebbe of Tush, that's up. And he says the following. Sit back and enjoy the ride. Source 20. We know, the Gemara tells us, that the Or, the light that Hashem created on the first day of creation, a person was able to see. Adam was able to see. Adam Sofebo. From one end of the world to the other. When Hashem saw the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFlaga, Hashem saw the corruption that will happen in later generations, Amad Vam Ganzo Mehem, Hashem then hid the light, right? The Or HaGanuz. Ulmi Ganzo, to whom did he hide it? To the Tzadikim, Lasilavo, the Tzadikim in the future. Now what is this about? So we know that the Briyas Kol Olamos Haitai Dei Lapshur Or Ein Sof B'Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. How did Hashem create the world? He created it through the manifestation of light. As it says, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. The word of Hashem, the heavens were created, and the word of Hashem, the Havaya, the name, Yudke Vavke, is a reflection of the Or Ein Sof. It's the everlasting light of God. It's in simpler English, this is simpler English in English, so we don't understand, obviously, translating it. It means that the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's continuous presence, that forceful light that overwhelming, emanating, powerful light is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and that's the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the name Havaya. Aval, mitzad or shem Havaya Baruch Hu levad in 21, if we only had that name of Hashem, we only had that powerful light of creating the world, it would never end. It's so great, it's so powerful, it's so overwhelming, it would just go on and on. And therefore Hashem had to employ, kivyachol, another name of Hashem. And that's the name that we know of Kel Shakai, the name of Ani Hashem that says to this world, die. Ani hu shamarti l'olam dai. I'm the one who said to this world, enough. Hashem realized, and this is an important, parentheses for us, that to have all this goodness, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, is midas harachamim, all of this goodness, and all this tremendous light without any boundaries or borders is not healthy. In life, goodness is great, but there has to be a limit, right? To give your kids all the candy in the world, it's not helpful for them. All the goodness, there has to be discipline, right? You don't go to bed whenever you feel like it. There has to be some type of border. This is what it means that Hashem created the original light. It was a light that was able you to see from one end of the world to the other. And Hashem amad v'danzo. And this is part of the idea that Hashem limited this light. And he limited this light ayidei shem shakai. Shamar lo lamo dai. So part of this concealment of light is transposed, so to speak, in this name of Hashem, which is Shakai, which is to say to the world, enough. Now, where is this light hidden? Can I access this light? So we've spoken about Hanukkah being a time to access the light, Yom Tov, right? Yom Tov. It's a time to be able to access the Zohar HaGadlus. One of the places to access this is in Torah itself. Torah, it represents Hashem's ultimate light, the boundless, right? We know that Ha'am Ochim Bachoshech Ra'ur Or Gadol, the nation that walked in darkness saw a great light. What is this great light? It's the light of Torah. And we all know this, that Torah is something that's unlimited. It's boundless. It's Miniyam, Arka Miniyam. There's endless. You can learn, and then you learn some more, and then you learn some more, and you're never even touching the surface, right? I've said this so many times. One of the things that I love, and the same thing that is a challenge, is like, every week to do a different parsha share. Hodel Hashem Ki Tov Kilim Chasto. This is our 14th year running on May of Esri, right? We should just continue being strong. Yada Chazaka. So every week you take a look at the parsha share and you say, my gosh, are we going to find, material in this week's parsha? And then you say, and this is where the love and the frustration comes in. So then you start preparing and you start learning and you say, oh my gosh, I know nothing. It's endless. There's so much more to learn. And again, it's this exhilarating feeling of knowledge and more and more. And at the same time, you feel like, oh my gosh, will I ever master anything? Will I ever know anything? Like it's just endless. That endless feeling is really an exhilarating feeling because it's tapping into the Or Ein Sof. It's tapping into that light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that light of expansiveness, that light of knowledge, that light of clarity, that light of coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that light of the creation, that light of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Now, my friends, we can appreciate the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh explains in the Aaron 23, when the Gemara says, Gansu l'tzadikim, lasi lavo, that Hashem hid it for the tzadikim, the righteous people, lasi lavo, in the future. We normally understand it in the future in Olam Haba. Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh means lasi lavo, the tzadikim that are coming to this world, those are going to study Torah. The light is hidden for each and every one of them. Aval Terem Shenitana Torah Yisrael 24, but before Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, Hayu Kol Abruim Neni M'Shem Shakai Levad V'Lo Yochlu Lastiga Or Shel Shem Avaya Baruch Hu B'Vad Avod HaKdoshim Shayidei Shizikahu V'Tiaru V'Rei Mikol V'Kol Zachu Lastig Kol HaTorah Kulo Terem Shenitana. Now I can appreciate our first pasuk. Hashem spoke to Moshe, said to him, I am Hashem. I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as Kel Shakai. But with my name Hashem, I did not make myself known to them. The Avos HaKadoshim, before Torah was given, all you had is the Shakai. All you had is the limitation. The Avos were able to tap into it, albeit Hashem didn't reveal Himself in this way. They were able to feel. They learned Torah before it was given. But the name that Hashem dealt with the world is the name of darkness, the name of Shakai, the name of boundaries. Now that the redemption process is about to begin, now Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I am able to give you the ability to know that Klal Yisrael now are beginning a journey. And the journey is going to begin with revealing my name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that you'll be able to have a sense of that light, of that energy, of that expansiveness, and be able to go from a place of darkness to light. And hence we understand that therefore all four languages of redemption are interconnected. That the leaving Egypt is to bring us to the place of Ani Hashem, of that name of Hashem, that name of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the name of Torah, the name of expansiveness, the name of light. And here's the punchline 25. Says the Ari HaKadosh, I warned you, it was a little bit of a journey. The Golos Mitzrayim, Haisa Golos Hadat. When we refer to the exile of Egypt, we're referring to it as the exile of knowledge. There was no way that Klal Yisrael could really be able to access a true relationship with Hashem because they were in Golos. They were in exile. What type of exile? Exile of knowledge. They were in exile because the Shem Hashem, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Torah, the expansiveness, that light had not yet been given to them. So clearly they weren't able to have a full relationship with Hashem at that time. L'chein, af kasher b'nei Yisrael kvar yatzu me'aretz Yisrael, v'lo nishtabu o b'koshi yeshibur, atayin lo itazo gemar agula. They didn't really leave Egypt because lo zochu l'tzei migula sadat. They didn't end that time of Gula Sadat, of knowledge. So now I can appreciate, my friends, going back to source number one, now the Pasuk makes so much sense. I shall take you to me for a people, and I shall be a God to you, and you shall know that I am Hashem, your God. You shall know, Das, that I am Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, only a Mamet Ar-Sinai, only when we get the Torah, then there's Das, then there's knowledge. We ask, didn't they know Hashem beforehand? Of course they knew Hashem, but they knew Hashem in a different form. They knew Hashem in a more structured form, that boundless, unlimited ability to tap into the greatness of Hashem, that ability to be able to be nigga from that Golos Sadat, only happened at Mamet Har Sinai. And that's why, my friends, we know that our job in our day and age is to be able to students learn Torah. That our job in our time is to be able to plummet the depths of Torah, to be able to know that I'm not just sitting and learning Chumash, Navid, Gemara, whatever you were learning, Musar, Rishonim, Machronim, Halachim. What I'm really learning is that at Hashem. What I'm really doing is accessing that light. And I almost feel, I don't know if I could say this, but I'm going to do it anyway, that when you learn Torah, I'm sure many of us feel this palatable feeling of expansiveness, of light, of energy, of not just intellectual knowledge, that's so superficial that I know more. But no, I am fuller. I have clarity. You're able to have that vision of from one end of the world to the other. Now I can appreciate why this is one of the four cups of wine, because this is the ability to be able to express, right, this gratitude that I have now reached this level of Das at Hashem, of knowledge of Hashem. And it also explains to us what we touched on also, of that we said, this is 28 through 30, that each one of the languages of redemption parallel one of the Golios, and that our redemption parallel our Golos now, parallels Golos Edom, and the Lakachti Etchem Lila'am parallels the ultimate redemption. And what how is the ultimate redemption described? 29, the pasuk in Yeshaya. Umala ha'aretz dea et Hashem kamayim liyam mechasim. The future redemption is a vision of the knowledge of Hashem. The knowledge of Hashem will be so enormous, like water that covers the ocean. Everyone's going to have this knowledge of Hashem. The adatim kani Hashem, that's the bechina, that's the tikkun hasholem, that's what we're looking for. If you had to describe what is the final redemption, it's knowledge of God, it's knowing Hashem, verastich li leolam, and you will know Hashem. The adat et Hashem, the Navi Hosea says, and you will know Hashem. That's the ultimate redemption. That's what v'lakachti etchem li la'am. We got a glimpse of it. We're tapping into a snippet of it every time we learn Torah. It's like redemption phase one. And that just makes us long for redemption phase two of the ultimate redemption, where we're really all of us be able to access that quality of das. Until then, we have the beautiful idea the Zohar HaKadosh points out. When Yaakov Avinu meets the shepherd by the well, and he asks them, how come you're not shepherding your sheep? And they say, it's not time to bring in the sheep yet. And, you know, we're waiting for the other shepherds to take off the stone. So in this critique of Yaakov Avinu, he says to him, Vayomer, Hein od hayom gadol, the day is great, it's still great. Lo ein hev sefer mikneh, it's not time yet to bring the sheep in. Hashku hatzon, feed your flock, and go out and shepherd. Which means, says the Zohar Kadosh, Hein od hayom gadol, the gullus is still very long, it's not time yet to bring in the tzon kadoshim, to bring in the sheep of Klai Yisrael from gullus. But you know what you can do in the meanwhile? Hashku etzon, tishku et b'nei Yisrael tzon kadoshim b'mayim chayim. Give them Torah. Give them the fresh waters of Torah. And then the time will be that the Kibbutz Goliath will happen. Okay, my friends, thank you for bearing with me on this idea. I thought it was absolutely stupendous. So let's just summarize level one. We get into level two. Level number one, of course, you're asking me if the Lakachti didn't happen right away. It's not part of the Arba Lashon Skidul. Of course it is. You can't have physical redemption without spiritual redemption, period. There's nothing to talk about. Klai Yisrael were aware that they were in physical exile. They weren't aware that they were in spiritual exile. Only when they reached Mount Sinai were they able to realize that they were in the spiritual exile. And then they were able, in retrospect, to see how they were so dulled and be able to come back to that pristine place of really who and what they are. This, the way we describe this, is Galus Hadat. They were an exile of knowledge. They weren't able to have the full access of the Yudkei Vavkei. Hashem says, this ability of Yudkei Vavkei is really happening at Mount Har Sinai. Therefore, we need to have the culmination, the completion of the four languages of redemption so that we're able to reach this level of Yudkei Vavkei, the ability to learn Torah, to be able to be enlightened, and to be able to plummet the depth of Torah, and know that the fourth redemption parallels the ultimate redemption, which will be Das Etz Hashem, knowledge of Hashem, and in the meanwhile, the way we can bring the redemption closer, and the Tashar Rebbe speaks about this at length, is through Limud Torah. The more we learn, the more we connect with Hashem. The more we connect with Hashem, the more we're able to bring more light and more connectivity into this world, which brings Mashiach and that ultimate level of light each and every point a little bit closer. Good. Now let's look at level number two. Level number two, and this is Siach Chaim, source number 31. He speaks about the matara shel shibur v'makos l'mitzrayim v'chol talich ha'gula hayu kedei l'galov l'gadel kvel shemon yisparach. Why were all these makos happening? It was there not only to punish the Egyptian, but to be able to reveal Hashem's hand in this world, the miraculous hand of God, and to be able to bring a kvod shamayim, a glorification of God's name. Right? The Maharal speaks about, he quotes it earlier in this essay, Siach Chaim, how if you take a look at the makos, you see that they start underground level, which is the dam, then they go underwater level, the dam, or water level, then they go the frogs on the water, then kinim on the ground, and then each one goes a little bit higher up, until you get to the Arbe, which is up there in the stratosphere, Choshech, even above, Bara, choshech, and then ultimately makas b'chorot. That Hashem is in control of all aspects of this world. And therefore, he says, u'bemekish likish b'poneim b'zen nered dava niflo. If you look carefully, we find something amazing. Sherei kvar nitba'er la'ayel shapasuka nalshma daber li'tziyah kolobo t'cho gamatinyan shabachiratam la'am Hashem. That vilakachti etchem li la'am is part of the four l'sharon segula. U'muvuar mizad devarim hamurim lo shimshu rakachana l'guf yitziyatam shabnei so mitzrayim ela af kedei lachim otam l'kabolo satora. That not only were these miracles in order to get us out of Egypt, but they were a hachana, a preparation for us to get to Torah. That we have to look at this as one composite. The composite picture is that the whole point of all of this revelation, all of these plagues, etc., was in order for the Klal Yisrael to be able to see the great Kvod Shamayim in this world. And when they're able to see this, that was a preparation for them. It's preparing the ground that they're then able to receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the two are linked, not just that, you know, you can't just be physically saved and not spiritually saved. That's level one. Level two is that the plagues themselves, the experience of Ol Tzeiti, V'Tzalti, V'Ga'alti, all of this was in order to prepare us emotionally, spiritually, that we would be a Kli Kibul, that we'll be able to accept the Atah Reis L'Adad, Kehashem Elokim Enod Milvato, the heavens opening up, and for us to be see Hashem, to be able to happen, have that happen, literally, out of the blue, would be too overwhelming for Klal Yisrael. They needed to have some type of preparation, some type of the ability to get them in the mode, in the proper mindset, to be able to then experience Mamad Har Sinai as it was. With this, we can appreciate why, in the Hallel HaGadol 32, we have two separate statements. We have, Vayotze Yisrael mitocham kilom chasto, and Hashem took us out from among them, and we praise Hashem, and we also have Biyad Chazaka of Zorna Tuya Kulam Chazda, with an outstretched hand, and we thank Hashem. Aren't they one and the same? No. Taking us out of Egypt is one thing, and there's something separate we thank Hashem for. We thank Hashem for the way He took us out of Egypt, because that was in order for us to get to know Hashem, to have Hashem's presence manifested in the world, and be able to have the ability to then to lachinotanu, to prepare us to become the Am Segula, and for that in itself we thank Hashem. Just to mention this one side deeper, and I'm not going to go too far into depth in this in 33. I think we've done enough of that today. V'hine matu b'bei midrasha mishmei d'bal ha-chidushe arim, 33, it's written in the name of the chidushe arim. D'kol olam nivra basamar mamaros. We know the whole world is created with 10 statements. Vayidei Eser Makos, and through the 10 Makos, Nasa Masara Mamaros Asara Dibram. And through the 10 Makos, the Asara Mamaros, the 10 utterances, were able to be transposed into the Asara Hadibros, which is exactly what we're saying here. Hashem created the world, and that was a manifestation, revelation of godliness. No one saw it. What the Asara Makos did was to take the 10 utterances, and we know there's a lot of Torah on this, that each one of the utterances corresponds in backwards order, right? Bereshis Bara is the Makas Bechoros, and Vayhi Or is Choshech, because the Choshech wasn't really Choshech, the Malbim said, it was that Or Hagadol, the light of creation, and it blinded them, they couldn't see, right? So there's a correlation. I mean, Mamakim goes to it, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, this is not our discussion for today, that what the Asara Mamaros did was to create godliness into this world. Hashem created the world. The Asara Makos took the Asara Mamaros and brought it down into the world where people existed, that people could access this and work with this. That then enabled Klal Yisrael to have the Asara Hadibro, which is again a manifestation of godliness within this world. And that's why we see that one was just a preparation for the other. With this, my friends, we can appreciate, and here we're coming to the key point in 36, that had we just had the Eser Makos, the 10 plagues, a person may come easily have said, wow, that was pretty impressive. God knows how to, you know, perform, you know, Mitzrayim is a place known for magic, sorcery, all these beautiful things. Wow, that was pretty good. What the Aser HaDibro did was to take the Aser HaMemoros and to take the Aser HaMakos and to concretize them in the understanding that it's Hashem who is the one who is in control of this world. It's Hashem who's doing this. And it wasn't just, wow, wasn't that, you know, whatever you want to say, you know, the luck of. And this, Rav Abramsky Zatzal, Chazon Yecheskel, quite a number of the Sfarim bring this idea down in 36. Limud Gadol, Shekadei Lakir Mashu Meniflos Maisa Hashem Yisbarach. In order to be able to appreciate the wondrous things that Hashem does, Vanagat Abriyah Chayavim Larkiv Mishkafayim Shel Torah. You need to have the Lakachti as part of these three. Because if I just had, wow, Hashem took us out. Wow, an amazing way Hashem took us out. And I don't have the Lakachti, I don't have the glasses and the mindset of Torah that it's Hashem doing all of these things, then I'd be limited in what I'd see, and people can make excuses for whatever they want. Ubiladeim adam lo yakei l'klum, and you won't reach any conclusion. Because even if you see major miracles, if you don't open your eyes without the Hashkafat HaTorah, you could attribute it to natural order. And you see this today, my friends. We're living in a world, we're living Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, where you have these missiles that are coming. My friends, if you would count how many missiles have come into Eretz Yisrael in the last, 5 years, and lo aleinu, every damage in every person and every house, don't get me wrong, is major. Having said that, in the scheme of things, how many of human life have been taken because of these missiles? You can't, it's less than two handfuls, probably less than one hand. How do you understand this? So, a person could say, wow, isn't it lucky? Wow, they have such bad aim. Gosh, it just missed. That's what could happen in Mitzrayim. Or you could look at it from the lens of the Torah and you say, the Ribono Shel Olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashgacha Pratit, as divine providence is watching over us and every single person to the exact minute, to the exact, this one went into their room and this one to the exact minute. That's Hashgachas HaTorah. That's why you need Vilakachti as part of the Arba Lashona Skula, because how can you leave Egypt without that Torah perspective? You can then easily attribute it to all these different factors. Vilakachti has to be part of it, because that gives us an understanding of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. Ulam rak b'matan Torah kasher yikablu el mishkafayim shel Torah. Rak av tedu l'mafreya keni Hashem lokechem l'otzi etchem mitachot zivot Mitzrayim. Now we can appreciate why it said, only now you will know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. Ah, you didn't know beforehand? Of course you knew beforehand, but beforehand you could attribute it to other sources. Only now you know for sure that it's all Hashem who's running the show. And that is what they got at Mamar Sinai. They got that clarity of what the world is about and how to look at the world. He quotes here, the Ish Tamid, who quotes this idea as well, quotes the Satmar Rebbe, who explains that you can appreciate the Medrash that says that in the womb a child has a light above their head, they're able to see from one end of the world to the other, and the Malach is teaching them Torah. When they come into the world, the Malach taps them on the mouth, and they forget all their Torah. What happened to the light, and what happened to seeing from one end of the world to the other? So says the Sabbat Rebbe, that's all there when you have Torah. If you don't have Torah, so what good is the light going to do you? If you don't have Torah, what good is being able to see from one end of the world to the other? You won't understand what you're seeing. You won't be able to appreciate what it is that you're looking at. Torah gives us the vantage point of how to look at events in this world. And that's true of our own personal lives as well. If you want to understand something, why is this happening, what's going on, you need to go to someone greater in Torah who's able to give you that perspective, because Torah gives you that light. Torah is that Or HaGadlus. It's that light of clarity. Torah gives you that depth of understanding that we wouldn't have on our own. Now, my friends, let's bring this down to our lives on two levels. If I understand that I needed to have the Yitzhak Mitzrayim linked to the Lakachti, because I would be able to appreciate that all that happened in Egypt, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the show, and don't attribute it to natural forces. One upshot from this, my friends, is what the Tifa Torah points out in 38. HaRegilos hi, שאחר שזכה אדם והושלם חצרונו, והכל מקומו בא בשלום. Human nature is that after a person has a difficult challenge, and then everything works itself out, שוב אינו רואה שהכל נעשה בעזרת הבורא. You forget Hashem in the picture. אלו רואה את רשותו רק בדרך הטבע. What are you attributed to? This person gave me that money. This doctor healed me. This person helped me out in this way. And you forget that they're all shluchi made of orel malei chesrono. That all people that Hashem is saving you in your life. Like I have this for the dress for the wedding, Mirtz Hashem. Somebody, a friend of mine's daughter-in-law, made the dress. She did an amazing job. She's new at it, and never take someone you know to do anything you want. That was one lesson I learned. She did an amazing job sewing. The only thing is that the proportions weren't exactly right. So a friend of mine is helping me find somebody who is going to help the dress look proportionate to me. I'm making of it. So I said to her, like, you know, I thanked this person last night who brought me to a seamstress who's helping me. I said, wow, thank you. She says, I'm just a shaliach habore. You know, don't forget, like, the thank you goes upward. You know, he just put me in the right place to be able to help people in the right time. And that's an important message, you know. Harbe shluchim l'makom. You have to thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for bringing people in my life who know how to help in the different situations that I need. And that has to be our constant tefillah. Yes, we rely on. However, we are deficient if we think they are the ones. They are just shluchei bari. Obviously, you have to thank them. Don't get me wrong. At the same time, don't forget a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That, on a smaller level, is the challenge of Tiyam Yitzrayim. Wow, look at all this that's going on. Did you forget that's Hashem running the show? And that's what the Lakachti does. The Lakachti reminds us, Kiani Hashem, the idea, the das, the knowledge, that it's Hashem who's doing this. And that's why we say, Vaser Satam Ufonenu Macharenu Umariv, and Hashem, get rid of the Satam before us and after us. Before us means that while we're going through something, remember Hashem and daven to Him. And after Him, when everything's great, don't forget to thank Hashem. L'chein yomad adamika in the bracket, 38, lo lafsik lo do labore. We learn from here, you should never stop thanking Hashem, even after the redemption. V'chol Yeshua Shabbal Adam, eino elam abore matzmo. Everything, all the good that happens, comes from Hashem. V'al adam lo mod lo do lo lela, kol Yeshua's vatzlacha. We have to continuously thank Hashem. That's why. When we say Zeh Shamar Borei Gam Acharei Shitkatein Bisrael Voltzei Tivitzalti VeGaalti VeLakachti, when we have all of these things, recognize Ki Ani Hashem Elokechem Motzi Etchem Mitachat Tzivot Mitzrayim. After you've redeemed, we repeat again: Hashem took us out of Tzivot Mitzrayim. Don't forget. While you're in it, you remember it and you dive into Hashem. But even when you're out of it, at that same time when you get out of it, repeat again, Tziblo Mitzrayim. Now thank Hashem for taking you out. Vaser Satam Ufanenu Umacharenu. And this is true on the national levels and true on the personal level. Vizkur Kol Chayav Shavarei Husho Shiovo Tziyam HaMetzarim Vagvulot HaPortim Shalo Vivolo Dolo B'chol Makom. This man, we have to continuously thank Hashem. Ki kachi avodas kol adam shegam acharei shavu avlat plaot v'zakal Yeshua mabarek. When things have, you know, been passed and we have a Yeshua, we have to remember ani Hashem, to believe that Hashem is the one asav v'osev v'yaseh l'chol amaisi. It's so easy to reach a level of complacency and say, it happened. No. It happened because Hashem wanted it to happen. Not to say, I'm done with the ready. I got saved. I got the refuah. I got whatever I needed. Let's move on. Don't move on. Continuously have a karsa tov to the person or the things that help you, as well as at the same time to thank the Ribono Shel Olam for sending you the Shluchei Habore. Now, the second upshot, my friend. And I want us to listen closely because I think this is so relevant for the time that we're living in. When we're talking about being able to be aware that Hashem is running the show, when we're talking about being able to have, basically, we're talking about the glasses of Judaism is the glasses of the Adat at Hashem, the knowledge of Hashem, the knowledge of that light, of the Ein Sof, of that endless, the knowledge of Torah. That the Lakachti helps us appreciate a Gevaldik Vort of the Chidushei Harim. And the Pasuk says in 41, and I will take you out from the suffering of Egypt, says the beginning point of redemption was the first part of redemption was that the Jews could no longer stand the Egyptians. And it quotes here a beautiful word of the Ishbitzer. When Chazal say that no slave ever left Egypt, what does that mean? They never ran away? It means that no slave ever imagined to leave Egypt. It's a fancy Hebrew word. It took me a long time to get. Va'ena eved yachol livroch haya mechamat ha-propaganda. Right? That's English and Hebrew letters. The propaganda was that Egypt was the best place. Why would you ever want to leave Egypt? Okay, so you're suffering a little bit. Okay, but after you stop suffering, you'll stay there because it was a great place. It was a beautiful land. Why would I ever want to leave it? The beginning of the redemption is Shelo Yisbelu b'nei Yisrael derche agoyim v'lo yirtzu lelech b'drachayim rak sheidu godo malatam shem mitzvah Hashem. V'otzeit etchem mitachat sivlos mitzrayim, I will take you out from being able to handle Egypt, from being able to withstand the Egyptian challenge and struggle that you have in Egypt, and realize that this is not the place for Jew to live. Realize that this is time to get out. That was the first point of the Golos and Geula process, is that when we're so entrenched in a place, we say, oh, so it's Golos, we can manage. And we've lost that sense. We've lost those glasses of where is the place that Hashem wants us to live. There's a beautiful piece, and time doesn't allow me to read it in its entirety. It's in English, so I'll just highlight it, and one can look at it themselves. In Rabbi Franz, New Haggadah, Rabbi Sefkar Franz on the Haggadah. And this is a great piece to share at your Pesach table. Don't get nervous, the Pesach's around the corner, but Pesach's around the corner. And he brings down a very interesting Rishalmi. We spoke about this to Rishalmi many, many years ago. That in the dream of the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim, when the baker and butler had a dream in jail, and Yosef interpreted the dream, and the butler was returned, and the baker was hung. So in the Sar HaMashkim's dream, in the butler's dream, he uses the word kos, cup, four times. And the Gemara Yerushalmi learns that we learn from here that we should have four cups on Pesach. So you say, because it's written four times in the butler's dream, we have four cups on Pesach. So again, there's a lot of Torah on this. So one of the things that he mentions here in 43 is, how did Yosef HaTzadik know, obviously Hashem inspired him, but for us, how did he know the difference between the baker's dream and the butler's dream? And he says, the butler's dream was active, and the baker's dream was passive. The difference between them is that Tzar HaMashkim spoke with passion. His dream for himself was to once again be able to squeeze wine for Pharaoh and serve the king. The Tzar Ofim had a flat, passive dream in which there was bread in baskets and a bird came from and ate from it. He wasn't doing anything. He was a passive observer. When Yosef heard this, the Tzar HaMashkim had such passion for work. It wasn't just a job. It was his entire life. He realized that this person would be reinstated to his position. 44. In a certain sense, we all have to become like the Tzar HaMashkim, world service of Hashem. In the past, our avodah took on a very different form. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, where we could actively show our devotion to Hashem in a much more proactive way, when we have now been wandering for 2 millennia without a Beis HaMikdash, about the ability to bring offerings. If we want Hashem to end this bitter gullus, we have to demonstrate to Him, as the Tzar HaMashkim did, that we sincerely want to be reinstated. We have to express our passion and devotion for the Beis HaMikdash, that we want to be able to bring the korbanos there. There we shall eat the offerings and Passover sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. Do we really have this passion? I know, when the Jews sat down to Seder in Poland, 1648, in Spain in 1492, in England in 1290, they said, this year we're here, next year we'll be free with a lot of kavanah. For better forces than our challenge today, that he's saying for us in Western society, it's really mean it, to really want it, to really feel the lack when we say this year we are here in life, truly painful, when we live in luxury and surpass anything our grandfather's capacity have imagined. So how do we feel the pain of Golos? We have to take a proactive step to sense it. We see tragedy in the world, which we are unfortunately not immune to, despite all our comforts. We have to say to ourselves, what does Hashem want from us? We have to really want to get out. And in today's day and age, my friends, in the last few months, when we see around the world how the anti-Semitism is rearing its head, how that hatred is coming out, because we know the Geula is Ad-Ad, and all the evil has to end, like that brilliant fire before it's going to be put out. The Satan is in his final heyday. We have to wake up and ask ourselves, well, what does Hashem want from us? Does this bring us a longing to Geula? Does it bring us a longing to the Yeshua? Do we realize that we, like the Egyptians, are a certain degree enslaved, whether in a physical country or in a mindset? As Lekach Valibo of Rav Shor notes in 47, that we each have to look and see ourselves as if we left Egypt. That's true today. We are mishubanim anu lekesev lavoda v'sharin yanei olam hazeh. We are enslaved to the physicality of this world. We have to realize that we're still in Egypt. We're still in our narrow straits. Again, either physically or emotionally, mentally. We have to realize that we need to get out. And as the Shari Chaim Rav Goldstein in 46 points out, that the first step, and it's the hardest step, is to want to get out. Kol hatkalot kashot, the first part is the hardest, that we have to realize it's a problem. Once we realize there's a problem, then we can solve it. And in order to do that, we need to have those glasses of Ritzon Hashem. We need to have the glasses of what does Yediyas Hashem mean? Where do we need to be? What do we need to be yearning for? What do we need to be looking for? And with this, my friends, we just summarize the second level, and then we'll end with one final, very short vort. On the second level, the makos are the precursor to the receiving of the Torah. You have to be able to be a clean kibul. You have to be able to be open to receiving Hashem's beneficence and miracles. The Mamad Har Sinai, the preparation was the makos in Egypt, where we saw the hand of Hashem, where the Asar Mamaros turned into the Asara. Makos would turn into the Aser Hadibros. My friends, we have to realize that this is one of the challenges that we have in our lives, that we're not able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision enough. We have to only, in Mamad Har Sinai, where we're able to have that perspective of realizing what is important, what is real. Otherwise, we just attribute it to natural things, and that's the challenge that we have. When things happen to us, we say, oh, wasn't it nice this person helped me out, and this dressmaker came and knew what to do? Yes, but don't forget, the Shluchei Borei, they are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be careful. Know that the Jewish people had a hard time. Sivlo Mitzrayim. They were comfortable. We're comfortable. We're comfortable in our galus. And that first step is to be able to get out of galus. And getting out of galus, part of it, is to be able to look up and realize that we have to ask ourselves, what is Ritzon Hashem? What does Hashem want from me? Notes the Tchela Mordechai Rav Shradon, 49, that on Pesach, we lift up a kos. A person has to be careful not to say, Kochi v'otzim yod yasali t'chayel hazeh. Then look at what I have accomplished. But you have to be able to see that everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A cup reminds you of this imagery. It's a kli kibul. It's something you fill. It's to remind you that it's empty until you put something in it. We are empty until we put something in it. And that is why, at certain points in the Seder, like Shebechol Dor V'Dor, Omdim Aleinu L'Chel Teiru, V'Hish Amda, and every generation that's trying to overcome us, what do? We lift up the coast. V'lachein matbi'im klapei mala l'horod ke'akol min ha'shamayim. We lift it up to remind ourselves that all of our salvation comes from Hashem. And that's what it means. Kos Yeshua Resa'u v'shem Hashem Ekra. I lift up my cup, and in the name of Hashem I call. When I lift up my cup, it's a reminder that all the salvation on a personal, national level that happens to us is all coming from Hashem. The Yudke Vavke, the Ein Sof. And I have to get out of the Golos Sadat and recognize that it's Hashem who's giving me all of this goodness. And that everything that happens to me is coming from Hashem. When I lift up the cup on Seder night, Kos Yeshua Nesa, I look at that cup and realize I am so empty until Hashem fills me. I lift it up with an understanding that it's up to you, Hashem. I recognize where all my beneficence come from. Thank you, Hashem. I realize that now that I've gotten Torah and the right glasses, the lakach etchem li la'am, now I have the correct das, I have the correct knowledge, and that brings into intimacy, into closeness to Hashem, which is the goal of Mamad Har Sinai, the goal of Lulav Seder, and the goal of what each and every individual Jew is all about.